All right, brothers and sisters, let's get our Bibles opened. The Bible's always ready, so God ready us. How's that? Amen. So let's open up to James. And tonight we're going to begin in the 13th verse of that first chapter. And the preceding 12 verses, I pray that we're truly rejoicing in that God continues to reveal His plan and purpose for us, and that, you know, as Christians and in the will of God to be called according to His wonderful purpose, these are not undue sufferings. These are things that we don't count or think them strange. We know, brothers and sisters, that God is using these things to glorify and magnify His life, His strength in us, His faithfulness in us, His superabounding supernatural power in us, taking us places, taking us into things that there is no way that we could ever get through, truly despairing of our own lives, but showing Himself mighty in us, Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But in these 12 verses, we rejoiced in that the trying of our faith, the trying of your faith, worketh patience, that the man that endures temptation, and really listen to that word, that endures, not just grin and bear and grit your teeth to get through, but endures, settles down in it, says, Lord, in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, Lord, help me. I mean, that's all you can do is say, Lord, help me. There's a lot of body afflictions going on, financial things going on. There's issues in families going on. By God's grace, let's settle down and be patient. Be still. And we're going to hear a lot of this being still tonight because I know it's in God's Word. But that the man that endures temptation shall receive the rewards of eternal life. That was there in the 12th verse. And praise God, just as we know, if we suffer with Him, we shall reign with Him. And before we move on with this, I really want to make sure and make certain that we see that the temptations that have been mentioned in these first 12 verses are completely opposite of the temptations that we're going to read about tonight. The temptations that we rejoiced in the first 12 verses work to our reward, our testings under trial, the before ordained good works that we should walk therein, the before ordained good furnaces that we should sit still therein. Didn't realize there was a good furnace, did you? There are many of them, praise the Lord. The refiner's fire, ring a bell? Maybe in our hearts, praise God. See, that's only faith can get us to that point, and the grace of God taking our faith there. But that we should walk therein, that the joint sufferings with Christ, if we'll be willing to go that way, we also will be glorified together with Him. His treat, His treasure, and praise God, it's to our benefit just as well. But whereas, brothers and sisters, the temptations that we're going to start reading about from the 13th verse on are different. They're not the trials of the testing of our faith. No, this temptation we're going to begin to read about tonight are the solicitations to evil, something that God does not have a hand in. Now, I'm not saying that He leaves us in those places. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. But this is not something that would be in the will of God that we would go this way. Things that God would not have His children dwelling in. This is the sin that so easily besets us, brothers and sisters. It is our unbelief. And I was looking up that word besets, the sin that so easily besets. That means to circle around us, to encircle us. And see, when that sin encircles us, brothers and sisters, it separates us from living by faith, doesn't it? It gets in the way. We're not walking in the light. We're not having fellowship in harmony with God and His will. So in that, let's go ahead and read the 13th through the 17th verse. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. And I'm telling you, you know you've heard that. You may have even tried to say that to God. At least maybe I did one or two times. Huh? Come on now. Be sincere before the Lord. Be sincere before the Lord. Know who you are and know that without Him you're nothing. And you wouldn't seek Him, you wouldn't praise Him, you wouldn't have anything to do with Him. But let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts He any man. But every man, without exception, is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, this is some wonderful stuff. And in Isaiah 45:7, God says there, he says, I make peace and create evil. Now, some have brought that up and said, well, what do you mean he's created evil? And I said, well, you need to understand what he's talking about and understand the evil that he says has been created there, or he's allowed to have happened, is what is the result of sin. This is talking about evil. This evil it's talking about here is referring to the sorrow, the afflictions, the calamities, as Brother Copley so sweetly points out, but that we bring upon ourselves. It's true. Events that we partake in outside of the will of God. And I think there's a wonderful reference to that in 1 Peter. Let's turn over to the 4th chapter of 1 Peter. And let's read together verses 14 and 15. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Now listen to 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer. And I just think how this is interesting. I mean, we're talking some very serious things. Well, yeah, I'm not going to suffer like that. Yeah, I'm not going to suffer like that. We'll get to the end of the verse. Huh? Or as a busybody in other men's matters. Isn't that interesting? Now, he's covering a lot of ground there. Pretty much about everything, isn't he now? And he's pointing it out so clearly that there's a suffering in my will, and there's an undue suffering that you just bring upon yourself. And it was interesting because you think that even, you know, sometimes when people are busybodies, they're inflicting pain upon the person they're getting busy with. And really, they're not. They're not. They're the, again, it kind of goes back to the diamonds that are cutting diamonds. I appreciate that statement. But if we're really going to look into that, as I mentioned to the meeting some time ago, in reality, the diamond that is receiving the cut is the masterpiece. And the diamond that is using that is being used to cut it is never set, mounted, or anything. Still a diamond, had a lot of potential, but it wasn't the masterpiece. So brothers and sisters, really take this to heart in the undue sufferings. And when we do go that way, we suffer. And it's undue because it's not in the will of God. Now, 1 John 1:5 tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And it's in that understanding that we know, brothers and sisters, that God allowed. As you read that verse and as you go into the Word of God, see, God allowed Lucifer to exalt himself above God. He did. He allowed that. That didn't catch God, out of control, or it caught him unawares, or there, as I've said before, there was never an oops in heaven. Might be a lot in my house and yours, but in heaven there's never an oops. It was exact. It's perfect. It's unchanging. God knows exactly what's going to happen. He foresees everything. So in this, brothers and sisters, we know that God allowed Lucifer to exalt himself above God. And if you really think about that, that's really what sin is. It's when self comes before God. Because see, what's happening is we think we know better than the Lord does. We think we can work things out better, or that we're superior in one way, shape, or form than the Word of God. And even in our own self-condemnation, You actually are dissing again the word of God. You're dismissing it out of your life because you're saying, I'm too wicked, I'm unworthy. Stop that. Stop it. Know who you are in Christ. Believe the word of God. Honor God. Honor Him. And say, Lord, no, that's not me. Praise the Lord, your life in me is who I am. And in that, brothers and sisters, we know that God allowed Lucifer to become the father of lies, and He allowed Lucifer to be the author of confusion. Proverbs 16:4 goes on to say that God made the wicked for the day of evil. Listen to that. God made the wicked for the day of evil. He's got a before-ordained purpose for everything. But let's not be confused. God did not create sin. No. And God did not create the temptations of evil solicitation. So don't you and don't I dare blame the Lord for the evil that we're entertaining in our lives. Don't. I've seen people get mad at the Lord. Well, the Lord did this, that's why I'm like that. God forbid. God help us. Well, my parents were like this, or my family was like this, or because I didn't have this, I had to do that. No, you didn't. Do not blame the Lord for the evil that you're entertaining. And I'll tell you this, because, you know, God really, as He said, and He tells us in His Word, He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but He's a faithful Father, and He's not going to put up with that. He's not. He's not going to put up with these things. Whom He chastens, He loves. And I have told my children time and time again, as the Lord so encouraged my heart time and time again, son, that's not you. And I'm going to come after you. And your life is never going to sit right because I so love you until you turn to me and give your life over to me. Then we're going to have harmony. Then we're going to have fellowship, son. And then we're going to run a race, praise the Lord, and finish with joy. And see, that's what God is after. See, God would never expose His children to temptation. In a sense, it is not of God to tempt. But then, brothers and sisters, see, God will not be mocked either. See, there's a point when God will cut this off. And I have seen Him do it in His mercy. I've even seen Him, and you have too, cut a life off. I've seen lives ended and the mockery stopped. It is true. And understand, is still a God of love. He is unchanging. But I'm here to tell you, our Father is not going to be mocked with us. So then, we ask the question maybe, well, why does sin affect us? Why are we tempted then with it? Well, you know all too well, don't you, brothers and sisters? Who is the power and the prince of the air? Lucifer, Satan is. See, unfortunately, so many people get confused, and that's why this kingdom teaching right now will confuse you. Jesus Christ has not taken the throne as God. He is sitting at the right hand. The church age is still going forth right now, and Lucifer is the prince and the power of this air. And you will read that in Ephesians 2:2. And then we also know that this flesh, brothers and sisters, is weak. And every man. Know this. You're not exempt. I'm not exempt. Every man, none of us are exempt from this, brothers and sisters. We've all come short of the glory of God. Huh? But for the grace of God, there go I. I encourage people a lot of times when they start getting a little haughty and a little puffy, and I can see them, that lust starting to conceive and going after these things. I said, you best read Romans 1 real quick, because you don't realize how far sin will take you down. Sin begats sin. It's the ugliest creature there is. Know it. But praise the Lord, glory begats glory. And that's what we have in front of us. And that is the life that God has called us to live. So, when man is drawn away with his own lust. And notice that there. It's his own. It's your own lust. That's yours. You've chosen that. He's tempted with evil. And we all know this, brothers and sisters. When any one of us have ever stepped out of the will of God, and I'll tell you, we all have, in anything, sin begins to hatch. It does. When you step out of the will of God for your life, sin begins to hatch. And think of that. That just has yuck written all over it, doesn't it? Like sin hatching. You know, think of the worst movie you've seen. And that's even beyond that. It's just an ugly affair, isn't it? And that's not who we are. No. God has, praise the Lord, He's appointed us to that righteousness and holiness. That's exactly who we are, and He wants us to yield to that. Please know this, brothers and sisters, that this is who we are. But again, if we yield this way, know that these lustful desires, they can be blatant wrongs in our life. Things that we know that are out there, whether it's fornication, adultery, hatred, disobedience to parents, the thing the Lord hates. But also know this, that they're also the even more effective subtle things. And I'm talking about the subtle things that seem right, the subtle things that feel good, sound good. Oh, that's got to be good. It's politically correct or it's socially acceptable. Let me tell you something. Those are the things that are so far apart from the Word of God. We go that way, brothers and sisters. We're not even remotely in the presence of the King. We're not even remotely in the throne of grace room. You look at verse 15 there with me. It says that the mother of all sin is lust. And how easy and how convenient that is, that this evil mother comes to embrace us with the things that are not of faith. That's what sin is. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that's this lust. And this lust carries us away very, very quickly. Very quickly, brothers and sisters. And I want us to truly understand this, that again, going back to the point that the Lord just brought out, this isn't something that we can just see so obviously on the outside where, you know, somebody's caught into maybe a drug addiction, somebody's being unfaithful to a husband or to a wife, which is evident that way. But how about the lust of self-righteousness? Huh? How about the lust of puffing ourselves up in some way, shape, or form that we know a better way? Come on now. See, this is what this is. And when we embrace that mother lust, sin is going to be conceived. And that's what's going to happen, brothers and sisters, and we know it. But see, God help us. And I think this is something that is so needed for especially this meeting. As James was speaking here to beloved brethren, these were some sanctified, set apart, some very special, every brethren special, don't get me wrong, but this group, they knew the Word of God. He's speaking to ones that held the Word of God dear, that had been walking with the Lord, brothers and sisters. But God help us to not be headstrong. God help us to always be tender to receive. And brothers and sisters, He's going to tell us, God help us to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. And I don't want to jump ahead, but this is where this is all going, brothers and sisters, is to be still and to know that I am God. See, oftentimes we think that we're such spiritual giants. Yeah. Come on now. Well, I've been at Living Waters for 20 years. God help you. Whether it was 20 minutes or 20 years, God help us to always be humble. He giveth grace to the humble. Do you know that? He does. God doesn't give grace to anything else except a humbled creature. A creature that knows by God's grace, and I'm talking about a soul, hallelujah, that knows they need the Lord. Period. In whatever it is, Lord, I need you. That's how you came to know the Lord. You were saved. And at that moment of salvation, you were humbled to say, Lord, I need your blood. I need a Savior. I need you in my life. I'm lost. I'm headed for hell without you. I'm humbled at that moment. I'm telling you. I'm done. I know I need you. Now praise be to God again and again and again in our lives, in the things that we face. That simplicity of being humble to the Lord, that's what He is after. He is looking for that broken heart. He is looking and searching for the contrite spirit. That's who He can plant in. That's the fallow ground that has been broken up, that He can plant deep and can receive water and planting. And praise God, that can grow up into Him in all things, the fruit of the Spirit. Praise His name. This is what God is so after in our lives, the increase, His inheritance in the saints. But brothers and sisters, I am telling you that we do need to receive the admonishing, and we do need to receive the correction of the Lord. God help us to be quick to say, I was wrong. Though it's so difficult. I'm sorry. And not in a flippant way, but I'm talking about a repentant heart. Come on now, quit being one that tries to deflect everything. It is, because it's like blaming the Lord, as we read earlier. That really wasn't my fault. Yes, it was. Accept it. Amen. Before thee and thee only have I sinned. Get to that place before the Lord. It's a wonderful place to be, brothers and sisters, and that's where God again is taking us, to receive that wondrous, sweet correction. Because I'll tell you what, we can grow from then on. And we'd best wake up to it, brothers and sisters, because He's calling us out. And He's ready to call a body out, isn't He? And this is that complete listening that says, Lord, all of me. She is altogether lovely. Praise the Lord. She's completely surrendered to Him. She takes that conviction, and it's quick. Sure, there's things that happen in her life and all, but it's quick to praise. It's quick to receive the correction. It's quick to say that I was wrong. It's not somebody that's going to be hardened and saying, I'm not going to give in to this. I'm not going to love. I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to listen to the admonishing or the correction, maybe, of some saints that God has appointed to say something. Come on. We're a wondrous body, a wondrous body, and God quicken us to be quick to receive. All right, I didn't know He's going to take these things this way, so I call out to Him. But He's calling out to us that we had better wake up, because often our house is on fire, and it's always on fire when sin is reigning. And when sin is reigning, it's going to completely bring spiritual defeat. It is. It's going to bring spiritual destruction. Sin reigning in us, brothers and sisters, actually emits a testimony more of hell than of heaven. That's the death that He's really talking about here when it says that sin bringeth death. This is really the death He's talking about in a Christian, is the testimony not of the heavenly, but of a hellish testimony. A life of God living in chaos as opposed to peace. Come on. See? Listen to this. This is James. It's got the high con of God in Christ Jesus written all over it. It does. Come on. Praise God. Now, we are all servants of something here tonight, brothers and sisters. The Word of God tells us that. And it's one of two things. It says in the Word of God, we're either serving God or we're serving mammon. Now, I know I've been there before where I was thinking, well, I'm kind of going back and forth. But see, the Lord had news for me in His Word. And He says, no, son, mammon is just fooling you, because you can't serve the two. Who's got your heart tonight, huh? Come on. Set your affections on Him, the Father above, the Father of light that we're going, or the lights, I should say, that we're going to read about. But see, sin is a, it's an ugly thing. It's a very subtle and it's a very tricky thing. Sin is so temporarily pleasing to the flesh. Sin's got a lot of flash. It's got a lot of sizzle. It's got a lot of smoke. As I tell you all the time, it's like that cotton candy. Boy, it can seem really good and thick. And it's delicious. I thank the Lord not to say that if you like cotton candy, you're full of sin. Don't get me wrong. But that ain't anything to me. There's nothing there. You know, it looked awful good. And if you notice, the kids that have never had anything, if they're ever walking through a park and it's like the first time they've seen those things, that's what they want. Because it's the biggest, fluffiest, best looking whatever. And then after they get it a couple times, most of them think, well, that was, you know, give me the chicken leg or give me the ice cream with the chocolate on it or something like that, you know. But it's hard to compete with that sizzle. And as any of us here would admit and be honest, the only thing that we ever reaped in our lives when we went after that lust and allowed sin to conceive is we were stolen from, things were killed in our lives, and things were destroyed. Amen? Amen. Even the young people know this, brothers and sisters. We can ask them. And it's amazing how God is dealing with my own children in some different things, that they know how ruthless the devil is, how quick the Lord has allowed the destruction to come, especially in this day and age. How quick things can come at us in internet and in the movies and in music and all of these different things that are out there, brothers and sisters. But I'm going to tell you, don't despair, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? And if He be for you, who can be against you? All right? So we know that. And I appreciate the prayer of the saints. I appreciate your ministering to me, because it does. It's a salve. It's a cold cup of water to my life, because we're in the battle. We're in the battle as a family. And, you know, the enemy, he just wants to make a muck of everything. He wants to come in here and ruin our testimonies. You know that, brothers and sisters. He wants to try to make a mockery of Christians and their testimony and their walk. And if he can get in any way, shape, or form that God allows, He's going to try to do it. But you know what? We're going to stand on the rock that is higher than I and higher than you, and we're going to know that He keeps us. And there is a cleft of the rock that as the storm comes, He does keep us. Now, brothers and sisters, know this as well too. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but sin sure can snuff out the joy. Huh? See, if we're not living the joy of the Lord, somehow a sin is reigning in there. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm not saying that it's the feel-good moments all the time. I'm not saying that. But there is a continual joy in the people of God. And I'm talking about, even if you don't know it, there still is a joy of the Lord in you. But the thing is are you rejoicing in the joy of the Lord in you? And God is encouraging us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You're going to have times in your life that you're not going to be able to rejoice anything, because everything is sour, pretty much. Everything looks like it's went to the basket and it's gone. But you know what? If you have the Lord, He never leaves nor forsakes. And that's why it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I'll tell you too, that sin, see, it prevents, it keeps us from fellowshipping with that light. And in so many ways, brothers and sisters, even again, kind of getting back to the young people, that sin can get so entrenched in them that they get clutched into the clutches of sin, that there is no testimony. And even in our young people as well too, sometimes you can see that you can't even tell them apart from the worldly ones. You know, we blend in so well. It's like that man that went away to the service and they asked him how he did, and he says, "Oh, I did just great. They didn't even know I was a Christian. You know, I blended in so well. I just got along fine with everybody." You know, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, God help us. But, you know, so you see it that way. And then you see it even in saints sometimes, brothers and sisters, in a different manner. Let's say a brother or sister in Christ, they start to stumble about something. They start to fail. And all some others want to do is expose the sin. All they want to do is talk about the sin. All they want to do is remember the sin. God help us to be as Christ Jesus. I mean, not just be as Christ Jesus, just live the life of Christ that's in you, that there's no remembrance of the sin. Sure, by God's grace, we deal with it. We acknowledge this. We're repentant to it, but leave it go and cast it where it needs to be cast, which is in the sea of forgetfulness, because he can't figure out what you're talking about. And then, praise God, we know that then and only then we'll have a testimony. But see, sometimes we just don't let go of things. And that's the thing that God is dealing, I think, so greatly with us at this time, to lay aside every weight. Every weight. See, we think that we're running from things in life, or that we can get away from something. But all you're doing is carrying the weight, because you're not dealing with it. You can think you're fleeing something, but no, you just actually took the weight with you. You didn't run away from anything. You're going to have to face these things before the Lord. This is your Heavenly Father, and he wants to bring you into that harmony of fellowship in each and every one of us, brothers and sisters. But God wants this whole heart dealt with. Just like David finally came to him and said, Lord, it's been so sweet. All these things that I have been holding back, and all of these things over the years that I thought I was going to deal with and I thought I had under control, I understand how you have brought me to face these things. Oh, wretched man that I am. God, you allowed me to go the way of this lust after a Bathsheba. You showed what that sin hatched. And then that sin begat the sin of taking Uriah and killing him. And then that sin got the sin of trying to cover it up. And then that sin got the sin of thinking that, well, it's all gone now because I was able to hide it because I'm so high and mighty and so wise as a king. You're the man. Praise God. We're all that man. Praise God. And as David was instructed of the Lord and encouraged of him, Lord, before thee and thee only have I sinned. And then that caused David later in his life, and so sweetly, Lord, search my heart. Get in there. I know you're already there, but let's just bring it all out. Expose everything. I want to faithfully, by God's grace, serve you. I want to submit to you. But you know what? I don't even know how. Only you know how to bring that out of my life. Only your grace can bring me into that fellowship with you. Amen. Back to the wondrous, and you'll never left it anyways, grace of God. Hallelujah. And this is the wonderful thing about this wondrous grace of God. See, let's don't let our personalities, let's don't let our weaknesses or our strength or whatever we think are due take us into a spiritual coma. And that's really what happened. I don't want to sleep through this, do you? Says the brother was praying, and I appreciate that so greatly. God, keep us awake. Keep us alive. Keep us looking up. Keep us loving your appearing. Don't let these little foxes spoil the vine. All right. And then notice here in verse 17. Well, before we go to verse 17, there is one other thing I wanted to say there in verse 16, where it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Mentioned it earlier that this is sanctified, chosen. This is a calling out, and this is a sweet calling here. Brothers and sisters, let us not be complacent. May God encourage our hearts truly to pray always. To pray always for the grace of God to allow us to choose this day whom we're going to serve. This day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm preaching to, by God's grace again, a wonderful group that this day you chose to come to Bible study. And it's wonderful. I'm grateful to God that there's hearts that are wanting to hear the Word of God. And let me tell you something, more importantly and above everything, and the only thing that counts, is you're pleasing the Father. And that's what it is. Hallelujah. You're pleasing the Son. But then going on to verse 17, and I love this one. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. See, never changing, neither shadow of turning, not even a chance. But what this is saying, and I like this so well, is that every gift is not necessarily good for you. Do you hear that? Every gift is not necessarily good for you. Makes me think so much of the self-righteousness, the so-called good works that are going on, so prevalent in mainstream Christianity today. Brother Hill used to say it many times, good God, good devil, good everybody. Everything's good. Let's just go at it. And come on, we're going to do this good. And we'll have big kitchens and big housing projects and all these things. And man, it doesn't matter. We don't, you know, let's not get into eternal security. Let's not talk about infinite. That might disturb some people. But if we do a lot of good in here, and see, you can't dispute that naturally speaking, those types of things are good works, but that's not necessarily a good gift from above, because we know what the good gift from above is. It's always from the Father of lights, and every good gift, brothers and sisters, is all grace. He is the Father of lamps, the vessels that bestow the light unto the world of darkness. And even further on in that, praise God, even though we know that He has made us lamps because of His grace and shining on in us, but think of the father-in-law of the Lamb's wife and how she descends from heaven having the glory of God and her light. You talk about a light. That's a sun glory light, brothers and sisters. And you think about, well, why does she glory so much? Why does she have so much light by the grace of God? Because she's taken it all. Everything that was offered by the Holy Spirit, she took. Her hands were just open. It was just like sweet Esther. She didn't know a thing, and all she was instructed to do was when that chamberlain said, this is what you need, this is what you need to take, this is what you need to do, and all of that. And what did Mordecai say? Do everything he says. Just do everything he says. Don't do anything you think. Let this mind be in you. It will take care of you. And praise God, you know where the mind of Christ is? It's right here. It's not some great mystery. It isn't. He's revealed it by my Spirit. It is the greatest of mysteries. Don't get me wrong in that. But this isn't hard. There's a simplicity in the truth. And He's brought this forth. And this is the will of God. And he that wills to do that will, praise God, will do it. He that wills to know, praise God, will know it. We know these things. This is why she's illuminating. And notice that these gifts here, they're always consistent. There's no variableness. What this means is they always produce fruit. That's how you'll know. They'll always produce fruit. They'll always result in actions and reactions in us, just like Jesus Christ Himself. You may think that you receive something, and then you're just showing a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of hate. Well, let me tell you something. That wasn't a good gift. That wasn't a good gift. Oh, no. See, we become more full of God, His Spirit, His Son, His love, His truth, everything. We become like Him. And that's the greatest testimony of the lamps growing up into Him in all things. I do want to go ahead and get to 18 through 21. So we'll kind of quickly close with that. It was sweet in a way. And I don't mean to do it, but I remember many times with Brother Hill, how sweetly he'd give a Bible study. A lot of times I see some of you starting to laugh, and he'd get off on one of these wonderful stories and start talking about these different things, and it was just so wonderful. And then he just shot right through those 10 last verses with about 3 minutes to go. Okay, wrapped it up, we're done. But it was so precious. That's not insulting. That's just the wondrous love of God and how wonderful He brought forth the Word of God. But I thought, well, my goodness, if it's that faith and love that does it that way, then hallelujah, praise the Lord, and we'll go with it. But we'll take a little bit of time to do verses 18 through 21 because He put it on my heart. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. Man, isn't that awesome? Isn't that just so awesome? Born of the word in righteousness and holiness. I just love that. How personal. It's Him. So of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness an engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Don't you love the word naughtiness? I like that. It just quit being a little child. Grow up. And that's really what he keeps saying throughout the Word of God. Grow up. He loves you. Stop this. Come on now. And that's wonderful. I just think the theme of the Lord, how he continues to bring this out to us. But brothers and sisters, he sought us out, didn't he? His grace found us. There's none righteous, no, not one. He called us. It was his plan and his purpose, we know in the Word of God, to bring many sons unto glory. All right? That was his plan, his purpose. And he said this in his word, I would that all men be saved. All. See, his blood was for all men. His blood was shed for the sin of all man. It's there for everybody. There wasn't anybody too wicked. Brother Paul already took that place. He said, shoot, I'm the chief of sinners. And look at me, by the grace of God, a chosen vessel unto him. Okay? So we know this. And it wasn't just stopped at that all men be saved, but come to the full knowledge. The full knowledge. The exact, intimate, complete knowledge of the truth. And how wonderful that is. Just beyond. But this is where God has called us. And brothers and sisters, it says here that in the word that we are his workmanship. And that it's all by his grace and his enabling. And that's why it's all by the word of his truth. The one who came to save that which is lost. And you'll notice there too that this is a little bit of wonderful prophecy dispensational stuff here. Sure, it was to the Jew first. But we know that the Jew, the Lord came into his own and his own received him not. And then there were the Gentiles in the plan standing right there. And remember how he said, and the last shall be first. Well, there was the last and now the first. And praise be to God, remnant of the Jew is going to follow the rapture of the Gentile. So we see that word coming forth. And then in verse 19, and this is one of my favorites of all favorites, and mom said this to me many a time, especially those that are just so quick to think of something. Ooh, you know, are you one of those that has that response just right there? Boy, I've got a whammy for you right there, you know, kind of thing. Oh, God, help me. You know, get a bloody tongue. Bite it. Slew, as mom used to tell me. Praise God. But even on the surface, just heed this, brothers and sisters, because as the word is telling us here, it'll save us a lot of heartache. And praise the Lord, there's so much wisdom in this. It'll save us a lot of undue stress. See, the world tells us, move on. Go on, you know, do this. But see, the word tells us to be still. The world tells you to act up. The world tells you to act out. And God tells you to listen. Amen. See, so many, you hear it. I need to be heard. I need to be heard. Nobody's listening to me. I need to talk. That's a problem. Because God tells you so sweetly and assuredly, shut up. Shut up, honey, shut up. But he tells it so sweetly, he says, be still and know that I am God. Huh? Hallelujah. You've seen what goes on in my house. Same thing goes on in your house, huh? Amen. But see, if we will just hear the word of his grace, and that means to respond to it, brothers and sisters, to listen, adhere to the word of his grace. See, we'll not give over to the defilements of letting our tongues be used for poison. We won't. We won't try to barb, and we won't try to get under skin, and we won't try to provoke to wrath. That's not the bride. See, those are the things that work wrath and bitterness and jealousy and anger and hatred. Not just in us, but in the body. It affects the body. His precious body. And see, that's where the Lord's been pointing out so sweetly to us. You know, prefer the other before yourself. Think of what we're doing. You know, you're not only doing this to yourself, you're really affecting the body. You are. And it's a glorious body, believe it or not. And let me tell you something. He's given you the word of his grace. I mean, can you imagine? He has given you You're filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, being in this meeting and receiving the things of the Lord. All truth. Huh? To whom much is given, you don't even realize how much is required. I don't want you to think about it too much. It would overwhelm you. But know who keeps you. Know who keeps you. But see, rather be quick to understand. And quick to understand is, hold up the shield of faith. Amen. Hold up the shield of faith. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who we are in Christ, brothers and sisters. And even, as it says, to flee the very appearance of evil. I'll tell you what, you hold up that shield of faith and the very appearance of evil flee from you. I love to see Satan running. How about you, huh? Squirming out of there. You know why? Because the light went on. See them ickies get out of there when the light comes on. Hallelujah. In him there is no darkness. So we continue in humbleness. I'm going to end it with this. Because he gives grace to the humble. And it's only the grace of God that enables us to receive the faith to live Christ in you, the hope of glory. Praise his name. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.